shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Before we begin, everyone do me a favor. Thanks. Read a little thing I wrote called The Federalist Papers. Yeah. I explain how a nation's unlikely to survive without a strong central government to keep it alive. When I launched the central bank, Jefferson called me ill. Now you have my face to thank on every $10 bill. When America was cash-strapped, I pushed past that. Now some sicko makes crypto, and our nation backtracks.
Decentralized currency, yes, I invented it. I'm sure many governments wish they had prevented it. The national cash is how they keep control. But freedom to the people was my ultimate goal. Am I a pseudonym, a group of men? It doesn't even matter. Nope. I invented Bitcoin because fiat is a disaster. A man from Japan or a damn hologram. I'm the reason open season on crypto began.
Hey, Bitcoin Maxis. It's the Tokens Radio Show with our hosts, Christy Matthews, Linda Kent, and Cameron Walford.
Well, thank you very much. Hope everybody's having a good day.
Yes, happy Mother's Day to
same
all.
To you.
Yeah, and all the mothers out there.
Absolutely.
Happy Mother's Day to all.
Thank you.
Yes. Well, my name's Christy Matthews, and this is the Tokens Radio Show, where we talk about all things crypto, blockchain, and Web3, and I'm here today with...
Linda Kent.
And Cameron Walford.
Oh, it's great to have everybody in the room together today. So you can find us on Telegram and Twitter as well. At Tokens Radio Show, that's t.me/Tokens Radio Show on Telegram and at Tokens Radio Show on Twitter. The chat room is open right now at KCNR1460.com, so once you jump in there and join the chat, that would be great to see you there. And our phone number is 530-605-4567. Grab a line to opine. We'd love to hear from you. So last Sunday we had Bitcoin Ben. He was our guest. And if you happen to miss that show, go ahead and catch the replay at tokensradioshow.com. And it's right there as latest episode.
Yeah, it was really great to have him on.
It was fun.
Way different type of person, but it was really cool.
And today's guest is going to be Nick Hill, the crypto knight from Storex.tech. And he'll be here to chat about his decentralized storage solution. So that should be interesting.
I'm really interested in this because I don't know a lot about, like, cloud and all of that. So,
well, we've had some offline discussions, haven't we, Cameron, about this particular topic?
Yeah. In fact, before even coming across Storex and Nick Hill, we had a little bit of conversation regarding this. So I'm really excited for this one.
Well, before we get started, let's hear a word from one of our sponsors. Ashley, would you play cut one, please? Tokens Radio Show has partnered with Swan Bitcoin. We are Swan Bitcoin customers and chose them because Swan is, well, easy to work with and inexpensive. Set up a Bitcoin savings plan and never miss out on the dips. It's perfect for both new and experienced Bitcoiners. Get the free book, Inventing Bitcoin, the technology behind the first truly scarce and decentralized money, and earn $10 of Bitcoin when you use our affiliate link, swanbitcoin.com/tokensradioshow. That's swanbitcoin.com/tokensradioshow. Yeah, we really like Swan Bitcoin, so
we do.
Highly recommend them. So, Linda, what's our crypto jargon this week?
All right. The crypto speak this week's term is white paper. And I have to laugh because I was talking to you and I kept saying whiteboard. And she's like, are you sure you want to? I had been doing some other things, you know. And so anyway, white paper. A white paper is a document released by developers that explains the technology and purpose of the project they are working on. It tells prospective investors how the cryptocurrency was conceived and highlights its purposes. A crypto white paper contains various forms of data like statistics, diagrams, and formulas. And I picked that for a reason because, you know, since I got started with this, with you guys, always hear about white paper, where everybody's always talking about white paper, and there's a lot of people out there going, what the hell's white paper? And what to do or why? What's going on with it? So there you go.
We can easily do a show about this. We've talked about it before, but a properly produced white paper indicates quite a bit about a project. You can look through that white paper and see if it's a bunch of word salad,
mm-hmm.
or if they have a highly organized plan of action. It's not a perspectives, but there's a bunch of items you can find out in the white paper, and so that's always the place to look at when you're looking at a new project that you're going to invest in.
And the one thing I would say is it could feel like a word salad when you're digging into some
sure.
of these. And the more of them you read, I would just highly recommend reading those white papers and then kind of just watching the projects and getting a feel for what it is they're doing so you can contextualize a little bit of the information that you're seeing. Because if you look at a project like Chainlink that's not designed to be a contender with like Bitcoin or something like that, that's more a solution for a variety of blockchains, and you don't have an understanding of why there needs to be a variety of blockchains in the future,
right.
Well, then everything that you read in that white paper is going to be gibberish.
Right.
So, research. The more yeah. context you have for this subject, the better.
And start with the Bitcoin white paper.
Yeah.
You'll see what a properly written white paper is all
and
about.
And is that still using the original Satoshi white paper?
Do you yes. Know?
Okay.
Yes.
I thought so, but I wasn't positive.
Yeah. So great,
there you go. Yeah, for your education.
Great work.
Thank
yes.
you.
It's very good. So we're going to skip past the news today, but there's one article we wanted to make you aware of, and our governor, Newsom, had signed an executive order last week to start implementing a crypto framework in the state. So for me, that was like, woo, woo, you know, alarms going off in my head.
Flashing lights.
As we all know, a lot of things in this state, what's right is left, what's up and is down, and when they want to have an executive order to spur crypto industry in the state, I just say, let's watch this pending framework that's about to be established. I'm thinking that we're playing a little catch-up to some other states that are far ahead of us, and California should be a leader in this area. So I do agree with some of what Newsom had said here, but I would watch it for more, should I say, nefarious things. Let's say CBDC
right.
regulation, that type of thing. So we'll just leave it there. Just keep an eye on this, and if there's any changes in the in this particular area, we'll bring it to you. So, but this is something that came up here not too recently, or I should say,
yeah,
come up recently.
Yeah, and I think we've yeah. kind of touched upon it a time or two recently, but never have. You know, did the dive into it. So I think this is a good thing that
yeah.
we're going to hit upon today.
Oh, definitely. Well, Cameron, you have, let's yeah. say, a friend, so
well.
To speak, that ran into a situation, and I think we ought to bring to everybody's attention, and I think we're going to see more of this.
So just for not getting tongue-tied on trying to remain anonymous, my landlord's selling their house, so I've been on the housing search recently, and the fun thing I've come across is the past year I was a founder in crypto, as anyone that knows me is aware, and hopefully some of our listeners by now. Anyway, so I was working in crypto, and doing so, I sold maybe $1,800 in crypto in the past year, and that's about what I could prove I made in the past year as far as any W-2s, anything like that is concerned. So in the process of trying to find a house lately, I've had a great time proving that I have actually have income capabilities because the world just has not moved in that direction yet. So to just clarify a few things on what crypto is, how it relates to the real world, and maybe give a couple of examples of a few things that it ties into, it might help others in the future who are coming across this problem.
Yeah, isn't DeFi specifically that we're going to be talking about?
I'd say the blockchain space, just working with cryptocurrency, because even if you're going with just basic Bitcoin and you're getting that in and out, that could be hard enough to prove that income. So,
well, I'm glad that you're explaining it that way, because I actually had a call the other day from a client for his daughter in regards to moving stuff around and everything and how that would look like.
Yeah. So, just from a basic standpoint, if you're not in the industry and you're not an investor in crypto, I think the best way to bridge people into this understanding is that if you look at crypto more like a security, and that's not what it's intended to be, and not what it not the peak of its purpose, but if you're just trying to get a fundamental understanding from a financial standpoint as far as your liquidity with your funds goes, access to the funds, all of this fun stuff, it can be looked very similar to securities. So there's a second layer to this that I'll backtrack on in a second. But if we're using an exchange like Coinbase, then all of your trades are coming in and out, and there's something that can be tracked and traced, and that moves a lot like stocks. And then if you want to get your money out, you sell it to Coinbase, you get your fiat, and that's in your account.
And there's a record.
Yeah. Whereas if you're transacting within the crypto world, you're not holding it in what's called a centralized exchange, such as Coinbase. You're holding it in your own wallet, and the only people that have your wallet information are the people that you provide it to. So the record is actually a lot more in stone, so to speak, and it can't be forged. There's no bank or centralized exchange or anyone that could be tipping things one way or another.
And you're referring to peer-to-peer transaction.
Yes. So if Christy wanted to buy my company's token or just something from me, maybe I had a car and she bought it, there would be an indisputable record of what she sent me. And then depending on the blockchain, there could be a note affiliated with it or something that is a definitive record of what transpired between us.
And there's no amount limit or minimum or anything, correct?
Yeah. So what we can kind of tie over to, and I ended up going a little bit more word salad-y on this than I intended to, so sorry about that. Got a little bit tongue-tied there. But if we're looking at it more like currency, we're all familiar with how currency works, and we're all familiar that it's a representation, at least whether or not we think about it or not, it represents our own time and the value of our time that we put into something or the value of our labor or goods. So if we're using something like a blockchain, now digital currency itself is, it's super money because of the fact that you can see, indefinitely for the life of the blockchain, you can see every transaction that's ever happened within that blockchain. So if you're wanting to see if someone's paying the same thing for the same goods, something like that, that record is always there. With your own funds, you can see exactly when you spent your money, where you spent it. There's no chance of the double spending. And I'm sorry, I'm a little bit more tongue-tied than I'm meaning to be today.
Can I stop you right there? So just so the listeners understand is that although there's this record, there is not a record of your name. It has a wallet address. It has a transaction that had occurred, but no one would know that Christy and Cameron had a transaction unless they knew that wallet information.
Yes, and then on top of that, if you wanted to share that wallet information, yeah, of course. So if Amazon or something like that had its own account, then you guys could all be seeing everyone could have that access to what's going in and out. So then on the side of taxes in the future, when the world's a little bit more caught up, there's a very healthy degree of transparency at larger scale.
Right. So with the situation that you had encountered, it reminds me a lot of the stated income loan situation when trying to buy a house, for instance. But with what you have encountered is actually more of a documentable situation than it is on the stated income side, because back in the day they were considered liar loans, because you really can just come in and say whatever it was, the number was needed to qualify, and if you had the credit score and so forth and all the other metrics that came together, mm-hmm. you got the loan. But what you're talking about here is you're not representing a number, you're representing a number of transactions. You have demonstrated you have worked, you've traded your time for revenue being in cryptocurrencies in some sort of fashion, whether it's Bitcoin, Litecoin, or some other coin, right? And it's just now you have to prove to somebody who's somewhat may or may not understand, hey, I've actually made an income and I can transfer that, I can exchange this into fiat, but I choose not to do that. And so I should not be penalized from being able to move forward, rent a house, you know, buy a car, whatever the case is, because that we don't have the same paradigm.
Yeah. And it, you know, it makes it really funny is, I have a decent amount staked and then a decent amount within the wallet.
Right.
And I sent a screenshot for evidence of what I was holding, and then I sent my transaction, the link to my transaction history, and then a screenshot of all my transactions. So it was in my head very clear. You could see, okay, well, 5 BNB came in, 4 BNB, whatever, all this stuff is happening. And then they're like, in response, I got, well, that's just BNB. What are you going to do with that? And I was like, I'm sorry. It was a frustration, but there's a dollar amount at the top of your wallet. So if it's a highly liquid coin, your wallet can just get the information of how much your money, essentially, your holdings are worth. So there was a very clear picture of what the value was and how I acquired said value. And they just couldn't wrap their head around it being.
So they wouldn't recognize it at all as it having any value?
Well, I mean, even though the wallet gave a value in U.S. currency.
Right, but they're going, well, no, we're not going to recognize that value. I mean, it's kind of like holding another asset
and that's
that has a dollar amount. Yeah.
And securities end up working the best, in my opinion, for being an analogy.
Right.
Thus far.
Right.
And not because there are loads of security and financial issues with securities that we could go into a different time on a comparison. For layman's terms, the liquid access to your funds is very not different from that of like your stocks, except you have a lot more access to it.
Right.
So what
was
you don't get penalized.
What was the outcome?
I haven't gotten my final word back on the most recent place, but there's three places that I've shot it down, and one of them was a real fun one because it was a almost 2-hour conversation of explaining what crypto is and all this fun stuff, and then even offering to pay it a pretty hefty chunk of rent ahead of time.
Right.
And
sorry.
And but anyway, in general, the outcome has been that people, it's almost a lack of effort to put into it. It's a little over their head. They're worried that they're going to end up getting paid in crypto or something like that. And
so because they don't understand it or have knowledge of it, even though it has value, they're going to say, no, we're not going to look at this because I don't know anything about it. I'm not smart enough, and I don't mean that in a bad way.
Yeah, I just haven't taken the time to educate myself.
Hence the reason for Tokens Radio Show.
Yes.
And I was out quite a bit yesterday, and I made it a point to everybody I spoke with and had some sort of transaction with them. Mm-hmm. I asked them if they knew about Bitcoin.
Right.
Yes, it's Bitcoin particular. Oh, I've heard something about it. Every person I spoke with either heard a little bit about it. I ran into somebody today and said, I'm just afraid of that. And so, of course, I invited them to listen to our show. But, there's a lot of work for us to be doing here.
Yeah.
A lot of teaching.
I would agree. And in my experience, I've also come across either, oh, I should start investing in that, or I know I should start investing in crypto because someone's told them to, or, oh, I just don't know how
to. But going back to your situation, it kind of, you're getting penalized due to somebody's lack of education.
Right. Yeah.
Due to a lot of somebody's.
But you could have easily, if you wanted to, you could have easily cashed that out.
Yeah.
But we're coming up to a point, and we're going to continue this conversation because this is a very
deep
subject.
I would
subject.
Like to get, keep posted on this and let people know what transacts after this. And I believe we got...
Well, our next guest
is... Oh, is it our guest? I couldn't
our
tell.
Our next guest is getting ready to come on. And Cameron, would you do the honors of introducing
our
guest?
Yeah, of course. So today we have on Nikhil Uttar. Sorry, I'm not positive I said that last name correctly, so if I butchered that, please let me know. Anyway, he's the founder, he's on the team over at Storx, and that's Storx. There's no E in there, just in case you want to look this up after the show. Storx is a Google Cloud alternative built on the blockchain. It's a really exciting project. We're excited to dig into it. Decentralized storage is one of my favorite possibilities of blockchain, and what I thought was one of the most practical applications for it from the day I started understanding blockchain technology. So without further ado, if we can have him clean up everything I might have misspoke on, let's have Nikhil on.
Welcome.
Thank you, Connor. Thank you, Connor, for the lovely introduction, and... it doesn't mind. Just call me Nikhil. It's just hard to pronounce. Nikhil Uttar.
Uttar.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry about that.
That's great. Good to have you here, Nikhil.
Yeah.
This is Christy.
Hi, Christy.
And
I'm
Linda's here as well.
Yeah.
I'm Melissa.
Yeah. So tell us, did Cameron do a fairly good representation of what your company is about, or would you like to go a little deeper on that?
Sure. And first of all, I would like to thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, it's our pleasure.
And regarding the Storx decentralized project, I think he has given a good introduction. And we are kind of like alternative to Google Cloud, Dropbox, Microsoft Azure, AWS. Like there are many centralized competitors. And we have seen they are currently in the Web 2 world, and we are the Web 3. I hope you know a difference about the Web 1.0, Web 2.0, and Web 3.0.
Well, this we do.
We do.
Yeah. So it's like a Web 1.0 is like an intranet. So the functionality of that internet is only read. So universities used to have, and Web 2.0, like the functionality is like a read and write. Like currently. The FANG kind of like centralized big tech companies took off in this Web 2.0. And the Web 3.0 is like kind of like a read, write, and own kind of functionalities this Web 3.0 has. And that is where like we come into picture as an alternative to these centralized providers. And before where we are like adding value, we need to understand where did they mess up? So why do we need to decentralize storage? So we need to understand, for example, have you seen today a strange thing happened? YouTube has censored two YouTube platforms, which is like Bankless Headquarter, like Bankless DAO.
Mm-hmm.
And another one, I forgot the name. Bankless DAO and Optimism. Optimism is a layer 2 protocol, and so they are like currently decentralized ledger technologies. They give some education, just like you guys, which are like running some education podcasts. So they are also like running some educative forums or like a podcast for the community with 150K followers. And suddenly, YouTube thought to censor them and take down all their videos.
Well, it's no surprise being that they're a centralized organization. But it looks like, Nikhil, can you just stay on the line? We're going to be moving into a break.
Yeah, we're going
to we'll
have
be right
to,
back to
yeah,
you.
Yeah, we're
okay?
going to have to take a
sure,
break.
Sure, sure.
And we will get back to Nikhil with Crypto Night. Oh, It's hailing outside. Sorry, guys. I got a little sidetracked. So we'll be back with you in 3 minutes. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
So sorry. I'm just...
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Fire and Destruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Grot. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that, and it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple, naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet, Mount Shasta spring water.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's gonna be a bright, sunshiny day.
Making a large ticket purchase from exchanges often comes with higher fees, purchase and withdrawal limits, and the potential for privacy leakage. You can avoid these challenges with the use of an over-the-counter service such as a coin trading company. When working with the coin trading company, you will have a private, single counterparty for your trade, one single quote for executing your full-size order, and a simple settlement process without any withdrawal limits. Open your account today with our link at tokensradioshow.com/CTC. That's tokensradioshow.com/CTC and say goodbye to exchange hassles.
Alrighty, and welcome back. We're with our guest Nikhil from Storx. That's Storx. Just to make sure that there's no room for misspelling, because I actually did misspell that twice while looking up the project.
I did too, just so you know. And it wasn't, I went someplace that didn't make sense.
And if you don't mind, so you are the cloud storage alternative and you're looking to overcome some of the shortcomings of the centralized solutions. Could you tell us a little bit about what you're doing different? And then I believe going into the break, you were then tell us about a little bit, or no, you did tell us about the recent news with Optimism being banned from YouTube and how this could be a sensorless world with the Web3 and your guys' technology along with the other technology upcoming.
Yep. So So, yeah, I was, like, just telling some points regarding, like, what led us to into this, like, a decentralized storage. Like, for example, like, censorship and deplatforming regarding that example, Optimism and Bankless DAO being censored and deplatformed because they are educating about the decentralized technologies. We have seen some of the data leaks happen with our credit scores, data leaks, and the data surveillance also. Like, if you are, like, giving the power to the corporations and the government who are, like, taking or, like, monitoring this data in a centralized server, so we are, like, a victim of the data surveillance economy. So that's what led us to this decentralized storage, which will be taking off in this decade, I think. There is a lot of demand for it in the future. So currently we are not live yet. We are currently in our beta phase, so that we are accumulating the customers and clients as of now. And where we are, like, different is with respect to our blockchain. So all the decentralized storage projects run on different blockchains. So our blockchain is a ISO 222 compliant blockchain, XDC blockchain network. And the transaction fee is very minimal on this blockchain, which is like a $0.0001, just like 1/1000th of a cent, I think.
So seems very affordable to me.
Yeah. Yeah, because if you see Ethereum, like, one transaction fee is, like, I don't know, like, it varies between, like, $50 to $130 based on the gas fee, which is, like, dynamic in nature.
Yeah, for maybe a $2 transaction, you're paying $50 just for the use of the blockchain.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So it's great. In fact, I was on the system. I had set up an account and started playing around a little bit with it. And it does have a bit of a feel of Google Drive, which makes it familiar. And that's very positive. Did like that. So, you know, I know it's in beta. And so there's a little functionality, you know, quirkiness there that's still working out. But nothing that would prevent me from using the service. So I liked what I saw. So, tell me, when did the company start, Nikhil?
It started around, like, the conception phase is around, like, 2020, but, like, that's where, like, people, like, it's a part of, like, XDC ecosystem. So we are also, like, bootstrapped and backed by our blockchain, Xenfin, or XDC. Now we call it as XDC blockchain. So they are also helping us in some developer activities if we need. It's always a community kind of helping each other out in this XDC ecosystem. So we are a project which is a part of the XDC blockchain, and we have some developer community who works for the Xenfin. I'm being, like, talking about the. So we don't want to promote the Xenfin, but we are, like, branding ourselves as XDC now.
Do you mind if I ask real quick, is that just a rebranding, or is there a functional difference between Xenfin and XDC?
No, there is no functional difference.
Okay. So
we just want that name to be more getting into the community and enterprises. So that's the only reason. It's similar, but people are aware of the Xenfin. If you are in this space since 2017, you are aware of the name of Xenfin. Mm-hmm. But now we are just XDC network. We are calling ourselves as XDC, and we want that name to be more into the public, right?
Yeah, it's got that mass adoption sort of ring to it.
Right.
So is it only available on computers, or can you get it on your mobile phone as well?
We are not currently encouraging that, but some of the other networks are currently, like, doing that. They are even encouraging the mobile connected devices and laptops, tablets, as well as, like, Raspberry Pis, if you know Raspberry Pis.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes.
So they are also hiring those connected devices as node farmers or the storage providers. But currently what we are trying to achieve is, like, enterprise adoption. So for that, there is a bandwidth constraint. Like, there needs to be some quality in the bandwidth. So that's why we are only hiring the IDC or internet data centers.
Okay.
So which are like spread across the globe.
Okay.
So, yeah, only those are currently our nodes.
If you don't mind me asking, I get a small two-part question. One, if you could dig into the pricing tiers, and then two, if you could go over some of those functional differences that users might incur with those higher tiers and lower tiers.
So regarding the pricing tiers, so we have with respect to the nodes, so the with respect to our first 4,500 nodes, a node, the node cost is like 10,000 SRX tokens. So if you have like 10,000 SRX token, you can acquire a node. And after 4,500, we need to do a little bit of token economics. So in order for other latecomers, so early adopters got it for 10,000, but after 4,500 nodes have been reached, 4,500 to 5,000 nodes, there is a requirement of 15,000 SRX tokens. So now for the 4,501 node, we need to pay like 15,000 SRX tokens to acquire a node. So this is how a increment model is there with respect to the pricing.
And then just for ballpark, what would that token count work out to in like a dollar amount right now if you wanted to get started?
So currently our token price is trading at like 16 cents. So we have an all-time high of like $4 when we have initially launched into the marketplace because of the momentum around the XDC project. So currently we are just like 16 cents. You can get it on HitBTC, Bitru, liquid exchanges.
Yeah, and looking. I was just going to say, looking at your project, it seems more affordable than most of the cloud storage solutions that are out there, assuming that that transparent pricing plan is there to stay.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so most of the, like, and also we have like a 500 million count with respect to our total tokens circulating supply. And we have a, if you look into our website, there's a distribution of how much is distributed to our team and the development ecosystem, as well as the ecosystem partners, et cetera, all that distribution is already there.
Are there file restriction types?
There are no file restriction types. You can upload any data you want to share.
That's
we are
awesome.
Agnostic of that. Like there is no file restrictions.
Well, that's really incredible.
So, Nikhil, how would somebody who comes across your website, what would be the process for them to set up an account with you and get their dashboard set up?
Yeah, there are like one is our UX. I think you have gone to our UX, storex.app, I think, where you can like have an interface like a Google Drive.
Right.
And if you go to our website, like storex.tech, there you have like a interface to our nodes. If you want to become a node owner or node operator, I think that is what like every user, either he wants to be on the supply side or the demand side.
Right.
So if you want to be on the supply side, go to our storex.tech and become a node operator and expose your empty storage to our protocol. And protocol is like a merchant. So it will take your resources and reward you with its own currency.
And then I'd imagine a lot of the storage providers are also the customers as well, because if you're within the ecosystem, it seems silly to not be utilizing it as well.
Yeah, so exactly. So there are like so many enterprises which have on-premise servers, which they are like currently sitting idle. So if you match our node requirements, hardware specifications, and you can like expose your IDC or the internet grade data center to our protocol, and we will reward you for your resources, just like Uber for storage.
But without having just Google making the money off of it. Instead, you have all a network of hosts that are contributing and earning from it, which is amazing.
Yeah. And if you look at their business model, like AWS or like others, they will, if they have a enterprise client, like a big enterprise client, like a Netflix or some other multimedia company or et cetera, they will have to store like a 5 to 6 backups. And if some disaster happened on that data center, they will be charging you. It's called like vendor lock-in. They will lock the client for like 5 years contract, and there will be dynamic pricing when some disaster happens. So this is where like they will be charging like four to five times more, and that's why they have to store like 5 to 6 backups for that data. So AWS or like a Microsoft Azure or Google Cloud, this is their business model. And the decentralized storage backup as a service is intrinsic to it. So you don't have to make extra copies of backups 4 to 5 times. Mm-hmm. So we just, the enterprises have to pay-as-you-go model. If they don't want to, if they want to take off their data, they can take off anytime. We don't hold the client as the hostage like the centralized companies do mm-hmm. with their vendor lock-ins. So they can like, they are welcome to come anytime they want, and they can leave anytime they want.
Now, if the hosts that are hosting, you know, all this different data, if a handful of them disconnect, is the data that they're holding gone, or is there some sort of fallback against that?
So the data is not gone. If the node, for example, if the node has a reputation model, if the node is not online, or like the data from that node will be taken by the protocol and stored in some other idle storage. For example, the storage is like 5 TB, but the usage has been like 4 TB, for example. 4 TB or 4 petabytes, for instance. So there is already 1 TB or 1 petabytes of empty storage, idle storage in the protocol. So if some of the data storage or the nodes has been down, that data will be taken by the protocol and stored in some other nodes.
And that happens seamlessly.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. So what wallet would you recommend a customer to use to acquire and store the SRX tokens?
So XDC wallet. So there is our blockchain wallet called so the blockchain is XDC, and the blockchain has its own wallet. So our XDC blockchain is like a different flavor of Ethereum. We are a fork of Ethereum and Quorum, and our wallet is a fork of MetaMask wallet.
Now, is this a browser wallet?
Yeah, it's an extension.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent. Do you have other wallets that can be used as well?
Yes, there are like other wallets which are compatible with our XDC. Like a Decent is there. I think there are a few other, like 2 to 3. I forgot the names, but I usually use the XDC.
Okay.
I think you just mentioned this, but I might have misheard. Did you say that the SRX protocol is on the Ethereum compatible or no?
Yeah, we are EVM compatible. Mm-hmm. So
MetaMask wallet could take could have it installed, and Alpha wallet, and the majority of wallets that are designed for the EVM should be able to take the token, correct?
No, I mean like we have our own flavor, right? Like if whatever works on Ethereum, it will work on, it's interoperable on our blockchain, but we want to have our own flavor, because wallet is like a $1 trillion business. If you see the ARK investment research, so
it's really interesting how that works too.
So everyone wants to have their own version of the wallet. So according to the ARK investment, every wallet holder is like worth $20,000. So $20,000 worth of airdrop is sitting, or like personal data locker of your financial data. So everyone wants to have their own wallet. So wallet is a big business. So we want. So I think XDC wants to create its own wallet. So that's why we would encourage the people to use our wallet.
Now, for those folks that don't store their cryptos on their computers, there are some hardware choices as well?
Yeah, I think a Ledger wallet is compatible, I think. I'm not sure. I haven't used any hardware wallet yet.
Is Trezor compatible?
Trezor.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
Excellent.
Yes.
Great. Now, on the exchanges, I noticed that you have various pairs here. So, like with BitTrue, anybody is going to be trading the pairs. You're going to go SRX to USDT. And Globians, Globiance.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that one.
It's a new project. It's a merger of a bank and a crypto exchange.
Oh, okay.
I'm not in that discussion, so maybe I need to be in the more of the XBC ecosystem discussion, so I'll get to know. But it took off really fast, a very good momentum behind the project.
Yeah, and it seems like that's more of a blockchain to token exchange where you have the SRX token to the XDC, and it's just within that particular ecosystem. It seems pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then
so we have like some internal synergies in the XDC ecosystem project. So every project in the XDC ecosystem is our like ecosystem partner.
Okay.
And we have like inbound and like outbound. So I'm like more of an external guy. So I'm reaching outreach to other projects to see if
okay.
we can identify some synergies and like collaborate to add value to each other. So I'm more of an external guy, but like I think my teammates can like give you some insights about what is happening internally. But I think they don't want to like tell upfront. They want to keep it secret.
Sure.
So the community can have that news later on.
Right. So Storex, is that an open source system?
Yes.
Oh, excellent. Kind of a criteria for our space, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes,
exactly.
You bet. And, you know, I don't know if you've been heard a little bit of our discussion earlier about DeFi and real-life world situation that Cameron went through here. And as we're talking about DeFi and so forth, we've had these pros and con discussions about, is it really decentralized or sufficiently decentralized? So you have management teams that are centralized, but the project is claimed to be decentralized. How do you see Storex being? How does that operate?
So we have like a internal governance council. For instance, we have some advisory network that we seek out some help in which direction the project should go, or like any strategic alliances they can help out with. So as of now, like we just, how can I put it regarding this? So we are like a completely decentralized as of now. So is it your question regarding the decentralized finance or decentralized storage?
Well, no, just like when we talk about decentralized, just DeFi can relate to a lot of different industries, you know, decentralized storage, for instance. But let's look at Solana, for instance, which has happened with Solana. And their system went down. And how did they bring everybody together was with a Google Doc. Now, you have to question how decentralized is this decentralized system really? And so it got me thinking about this, and I think a lot of projects that get started has some sort of centralization features to it, but where does the break happen where the desire to move to decentralized is truly decentralized? I mean, in this situation with Storex, that seems kind of obvious with the nodes and so forth, the way it's set up and the way that information is distributed among the system. But when you're looking at the development team, that might still be somewhat centralized at this point because it's such a new project. So it's just kind of a curiosity question, and I'm sure the desire is to be fully decentralized, and your developers will be working in the spirit of how decentralized is supposed to work, kind of like Satoshi's vision, I'm sure.
Right. So if you look at the DAOs currently, there is some economic they are like currently separating that. Like there are like a dual token model. So in order to project to sustain, it needs some financial sustainable model, right? Like so many of the projects they are like have VC backed, so there is no so in the era of ICOs, like it's completely like a decentralized investment used to have. So, but for now, in order to project to sustain in the initial phases, it needs some funding,
right?
So there is a ecosystem. If you have an idea, you have to apply for an ecosystem, not ecosystem fund. So if you have an idea, you can apply for a grant, and the ecosystem will look at your idea, and if it adds value to its ecosystem, it will fund it.
Okay.
So if you look at any project like a Cello or Graph Protocol, etc., like there are like plenty of projects which will the ecosystem is backed by some of the VCs who are into this space. Like A16Z is like the biggest one, and Greylock, etc., etc.
Okay.
So these folks back the ecosystem, and they will review the idea, and if it adds value to the ecosystem, they will fund the project. And that funding will be helping the developers to develop, and all the operations, it will be used.
Okay.
So, but in the future, it will be, so that's why some of the project tokens will be locked.
Okay.
For like some strategic alliances, ecosystem development, developer ecosystem acquisition, et cetera, et cetera.
Sounds good. So is it my understanding that everything is pretty much encrypted when you're using this? And I'm kind of going for the passwords and sign-on and stuff. You know, that's one question I get from a lot of people is, yes, if I go use this, and yes, I put in my password and my keys and everything, and it's encrypted, how much am I protected, I guess, is what I'm trying to get to, because they're always worried about that information being hung out there, kind of like Google Drive and things like that. It's kind of...
The data leaks and stuff.
Yes, thank you. Data leaks is, you know...
So with respect to this, everything is like encrypted with your private key. For example, your MetaMask wallet is there, and a MetaMask wallet has like public key and private key. Public key is to like a... is like your door number. If I have to send money or like a post, I need to know your door number. But so the private key is like you can take the money order with the key, for example. So it will be encrypted with your private keys before uploading the data. And no one can like touch your data until they know your private key.
Right. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
And that's just the beauty of the blockchain in general.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
We've got just a couple minutes left here, Nikhil, and wanted to learn real quick about the Refer and Earn program, and then what social media channels can StoreX be found on?
Yeah. You can mostly we are active on Twitter, Discord, and Telegram channel. If you go into our website, you can find our social media links below bottom of the website.
Okay.
And there is some referral program. If you bring us some traffic, we will reward you with if we are earning a dollar, 80% will be given to our community. So if you bring us some traffic, we can like reward you with whatever the usage has been acquired based on that.
It's definitely the sharing economy.
Yeah, it all adds up too, you know.
Yeah, we would love to host all your podcast stories on our platform. We can give you 30% discount and with respect to our competition.
Oh, we'll talk about that.
Yeah. Well, we're coming to the end of the show. It's been great to have you on. We really appreciate you sharing this information with us and have you back in the future so that we can learn more about it and get your message out to the people.
Thank you so much.
For sure. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Till everybody knows
your name. Down the road it will be told about the death of old Mt. Gox, about traders trading altar coins and miners mining blocks. But them good old boys back in Illinois and on down through Tennessee, see they don't care to be a millionaire, they're just wanting to be free. Oh, Bitcoin, as you're going into the old blockchain, oh, Bitcoin, I know you're gonna rain, till everybody knows, till everybody knows your name. Thank you.
news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.